Got my water. I feel like the Lord would have us to start out singing. And we're just going to sing Alleluia, at least to start out with. So hopefully you will join me so it's not just my voice going on. Okay. Alleluia. 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 We welcome you here, Lord. Thank you that you are walking among us. Thank you that you're touching us. Oh, thank you, Lord. A few weeks ago, Scott asked me if I had something to share, and I always have several things swirling around my head, and I said, sure. And so when it came down to it, I had several topics, if you will, of things that I'd been thinking about and meditating on. And I'll give you the list of four, the ones that made the top four. And the first one was seeing God. Yeah, we've talked a lot about hearing God. But seeing God, and it may be a vision with our eyes open or maybe even closed. I know my husband Steve, he gets open visions. He's me, I'm more of a, you know, I see it in my mind, that type of thing. And as an illustration, this last Friday, Steve and I went to Radiant Church. Tim Sheets was there, and we wanted to, you know, see what's going on and everything. And it was, yeah, Dutch Sheets' brother. He's got a brother, yes. And he really talks a lot about angels. He has some books about angel armies, which I thought was interesting. He talked about breaker angels, where he can see them, and they have like sledgehammers, and they're like breaking the hard, you know, ground and things. So it's really pretty cool. But anyway, so it was during worship, and they were singing, most of the songs they were doing are ones that I don't know, and so you're just kind of like, you know. But it was good and everything. But there's this one song that came on, and I had this vision, you know, I saw it in my head, and I'm flying over clouds, and that was pretty cool, you know. And the thing that was interesting is I was above myself seeing myself flying, so that was really interesting too. But anyway, so I'm flying, and it was just the peace of God, you know, that was on me. But I was a little disappointed because, yeah, how can you be, right? That's kind of weird, right? But I wanted to see the earth below. I wanted to see it from above. And it was just so thick with clouds. And then I saw this clearing. And so I was really excited. So I'm flying over this clearing, and I look down, and all I see are streets of gold. And I see a child walking on the streets. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. That's something I was not expecting to see. And just at that time, the chorus of the song that they were singing goes like this, which I'm going to play at the end, but it says, here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. And then the Lord spoke to me this morning. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. When we're in his presence on earth, we are walking on streets of gold. And it's time that we start seeing what it is. What it really is, and not with our natural eyes, but with our spiritual eyes. The second topic that's really been on my heart a lot, you'll love this, laying down our lives. Now, there's a feel-good topic right there, right? Some of you might be, I think I left something in the oven. But I heard the Lord tell me a few weeks ago, he said, I want you to teach others or show others how to lay down their lives. And I'm like, Lord, shouldn't I be doing that first? You know, because a few weeks ago I got up and I, you know, confessed that, you know, we were just singing a song and about I lay it all down. And as we're singing it, I'm like, Lord, I don't feel like I have laid down my life. Not everything. You know, there's things that I hold on to. And so anyway, I have a feeling he's going to show me. Oh, yeah. That was a warning. And that a lot of times we're all learning things at the same time. So the third topic was grace. His grace is sufficient for everything that we go through. I just really feel a lot about grace. And then number four was joy, and about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I sat down and I said, Lord, can you narrow it down for me? What do you want me to talk about? And just as clear as a bell, and in that still small voice, I heard him say, do you really think they're all unrelated? And I said, well, not now. No. Trick question, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So as I was preparing, I'm like, yes, they all are definitely related. And I want to tell you a few stories. One of them that just really, I remember the first time I read it, just really rocked me. And it's in the book Extreme Devotion by the Voice of the Martyrs. And if you've never read that book, it's very good. And I think there's one in our library back there, if I remember right. But anyway, this one, her name is Mi Ling, and she was in communist China. And she was being tortured because they wanted her to give up her friends in the underground church. And at first she said she was extremely fearful. And then she said, when I closed my eyes, I could not see the angry faces of the men or the instruments of pain they were using. I kept repeating the promise of Christ to myself. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart, sorry. I also found that when I purified my heart of the fear of men, I learned to really see God. I took courage from all the others who had gone before me and focused on him until everything else faded away. When the officials learned of my defense, they taped my eyelids open. But it was too late because my vision was secure. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. This is the one that got me. This is how we got started on the ice, got started on this. In our small group, we were reading Philippians, and I got to the part, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And I remember saying to the group, I said, that's really not something I've ever prayed. And normally, most everybody I know probably doesn't pray that prayer. I mean, to share in his sufferings. So after we were talking about that interesting thing, I love how God puts things together. And so in my YouTube feed, here comes this video, and it's of Dr. Helen Rosevere. And she was a missionary doctor in the Congo. And she believed that God granted her the privilege to be a missionary. And if you ever read her books or listen to her, all she talks about is the privilege of serving God. It's a privilege to stand up here. It's a privilege to work with our children. It's a privilege to clean the church. It's a privilege to serve as an usher. And when we start looking at that, everything changes. It's a privilege to be up here and leading people into worship and to worship the Lord. And so that's her whole life. It was just such a privilege. And she had been through so much. She would live in fear and dread, anticipating the next visit of rebel soldiers, because when they came, they could be very cruel. And she'd been beaten up several times. But this is good. She said, "His grace always proved itself sufficient in the moment of need, but never before the necessary time, and rarely afterwards." And in our group, we're like, wow, we could use that for our whole life, you know? So many times, I want, when something is coming up that I might be anxious about, you know, or, you know, maybe you have like a court case or medical procedures or family situation, and it's like, I want to feel the grace now. But it's amazing because he gives you the grace just when you need it. And so she said, "I felt this so many times in the past." She said that, here it is. This is her talking. "As I anticipated suffering in my imagination and thought of what these cruel soldiers would do next, I would quiver in fear. I broke out in a cold sweat of horror. As I heard them drive into our village day or night, my mouth would go dry, my heart would miss a beat. Fear gripped me in an awful vice, but used to give others courage too. He filled me with a peace and an assurance about what to say and do that amazed me and often defeated the immediate tactics of the enemy," right when she needed it. I felt like what the Lord told me was that grace, what we really need beforehand is the confidence and trust that he will take care of all situations, and when the time comes, grace will open up the door to his peace, his joy, and wisdom. She tells a story talking about, you know, he knows what we need way before we need it, which is what's really cool about God. And so Helen Rosevere, Dr. Rosevere, she was talking about one time she was delivering a baby. The baby was premature, and unfortunately, the mother died in childbirth. And so here she had this preemie baby, and they needed to keep the baby warm because preemies lose a lot of body heat, and then they use up all their oxygen, and it's just not a good thing. So she tells the nurse, "Please go get a hot water bottle. We got to keep this baby warm." The nurse comes back. She goes, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but the water bottle broke as I put the water in, and we don't have another one." She goes, "Okay, wrap the baby up, lay her by the fire, not too close, keep a good eye on her, we got to keep that baby warm." It's like, okay. So the doctor goes back to the orphanage, and she does a prayer with the kids, and she's like, "Kids, we need to pray for this baby. This baby was born too early. We need a hot water bottle, but it broke," and she has a little 2-year-old sister, and now they don't have their mother. And so they were praying, and she said, "There's this 10-year-old, and she gets up and she's just as bold as a lion. She says, "God, we need a hot water bottle. We need it now. Don't send it tomorrow because the baby will be dead. And if you could, please send a dolly for the baby's sister because they don't have their mama anymore. She needs someone to hold on to." And so the doctor's like, "Wow, that was really good. But okay." So that afternoon, a package arrives. Now, the doctor, Dr. Helen, never has received a package from home. So that was interesting. So that very afternoon, she opens it up. There's a hot water bottle and a dolly. And it was sent 5 months before it happened. So God always knows. He always knows, and he always takes care of us. Then there's Stephen in Acts. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people, and then opposition arose. And that was through the synagogue of the freedmen. They would have been the cancel culture of their day. The woke. Yes, they were the woke. And so they were telling lies about Stephen, colluding together, stirred up the people, got them all upset. And then in verse 15, it says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel because it radiated light. And then in Acts 7, we see that Stephen is allowed to speak, and he gives a history lesson and then calls them all out, which did not make them happy. And so when they heard this, they were furious. And in Acts 7, verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell to his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And then the very next part, it says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. And as we all know what happened about Saul, who became Paul. So no one is beyond the reach of God. See, this one's in my phone. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 10. Verse 34 and 35, this is from the Passion Translation. I love this. It says, you sympathized with those in prison, and when all your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with joy. What? It's hard to find joy when someone cuts us off on the road, you know? It's hard to find joy when we spill coffee all over the table and it goes on the floor and it's everywhere. And here there are people that are at a place that when all their belongings are taken, they're filled with joy. But get this. This is how it happens. The next part says, convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. I love that. I'm asking the Lord to help me with that, to be convinced, to stop looking at what I have on this earth. They're nothing. We're here for such a short time. We're walking on streets of gold, people. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I believe that the Lord is saying that it's time that the church sets her priorities in the right place. I don't know exactly what's happening in our future. Some believe that there could be great persecution come on us, which could be, but also a very great harvest and an awakening globally that we have never seen before. And I believe that either way, and maybe it's at the same time, who knows? It's both, yeah. It doesn't have to be, and just like the Lord says, could they be related? You know, did you not think they could be related? We got the synagogue of the freedmen out there just having a fit. But that because we're convinced that our treasures are in heaven, it doesn't matter if they take our stuff. It doesn't matter what they say about us. The grace is there when we need it. And peace and joy are there for us. You know, I've heard different stories of martyrs who were burned at the stake. I remember hearing one saying, they said, if his grace is sufficient, hold up one finger. Some of you may have heard this. And so I don't remember who it was, but the person was in the fire and, you know, at the stake. And he lifts up one finger and then he lifts up two fingers. More than enough. More than enough. His grace is more than enough. We don't have to be afraid of the future. We don't. He will take care of us. I mean, he had ravens bringing food to Elijah, meat and bread or something. We don't know where they got them. That was pretty cool. But anyway, but our Lord is able to take care of every single need that we have. We don't have to be afraid. And if there's anything that's coming up right now in your life that you're anxious about, have the confidence and the trust that when the time comes, the grace is there, the wisdom is there, the joy is there, the peace is there, that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, that's good news. That is good news. I am so excited. I am so excited. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is play the video of the song that was playing when I was flying. And as I was listening to it this morning, it's got the lyrics on it, so that's cool. As I was listening to it, it's like, well, this is exactly what God is saying right now, was in the words of this song. So I want to go ahead and we're going to play that. And if you want to come forward during it and just lay down or just whatever, feel free.
Cue up music. This is a teachable moment. I don't want to miss it. I want you to stand here. There's a prophetic understanding that some have, that maybe but others don't, but I want to make sure everybody has it, that when you ever have a vision, a dream, anything, and you see yourself in it, you know, like she just describes, as I could see me above it, okay, that is, there's something about that that's important to understand, and that is God is giving you his perspective, okay? God is seeing, he's letting you see how he sees you and how he wants you to see yourself. And the fact that Jan is giving us that vision just wasn't for her. See, God is saying, look, I see you guys as those that I want you to soar. I want you to be able to see through the clouds. We all can talk about cloudiness. Probably the more we think about it, it's like I'm kind of cloudy about seeing a lot of things. But the Lord is saying, those clouds are going to part, and I want you to see how I'm calling you to walk. That's a prophetic word that was for Jan, but it's corporate, that there are streets of gold that I've made you to walk on. There's perspective I've caused you to see, and the ability to see those things. And I just say it this way: it comes by faith. Okay, we don't always just get to see things that God wants us to see until we actually have our hearts aligned in faith that God wants us to see that this is really, it's not for somebody else, it's not for Jan, it's for you. God didn't just give somebody for one person to see. No, He wants you, us, to see. No respecter of persons. And so don't anybody sitting there going, well, I wish I had some type of vision like Jan had. You just did. God just took what was in His mind, put it in her mind, and communicated it. Now you have a picture of how He wants you to see from His perspective, how He sees you. Okay? Amen. There you go.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. You can go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. here in your presence, everything bows before you. Would bow before you.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. It is a privilege to be your child. It is a privilege to do what you called us to do. Lord, I just pray for each and every one here, Father. I just thank you for your presence that rests on each and every one. The radiance on their face because they've been in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that we do not have to be afraid ever, but we have the confidence that you are there to take care of us, and you know what we need way before we even know we need it. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Help us to get our priorities straight. In order, in line with you, Lord. Thank you for the grace to lay our lives down, to show us what that is, what that means. It might be just getting in the car and going across town and at a certain gas station at a certain time to be able to pray for someone, when all we really wanted to do was sit on our front porch and drink coffee. But because you asked us to, and it's a privilege to serve you, we will lay down our lives. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone that wants prayer, you can come up front, or if there's something that you want to share, maybe you saw something. Okay, yeah, just go ahead and stand up there. All right, well, yeah. Yes, please.
Please. I know you do.
But the grace is there. Right now.
I just want to share I'm a picture seer kind of person, so the Lord I just want to share something that I saw when Scott was talking about intercession. I know that, and you were talking about praying on behalf of others and stuff. I know sometimes that just sounds like, wow, I need to weep and pray before the altar. Now, there is that time and that kind of thing. But I saw a picture. I was at a table with some friends, and this kind of like actually happened, but only part of it. And we were at a Mexican restaurant, and we were being served. And we were all together. I kept getting this sense today. I mean, when I come up here earlier, I want to preface it. When you get the sense of you're all alone, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to feel like. You're all alone. You know it, but you don't really know it till you sense it when you're with somebody. I could just feel the crowd come up behind. And there obviously wasn't. I don't even know who actually was behind me. I don't know, just Amy or someone else. But it's like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I could feel that. It's like the crowd of believers or the witnesses were behind me praying for me. And it's like, oh, wow, I'd not really felt that before. So I felt that today. Here's another thing. What I saw then at that time was we were at a table, and there was a bunch of us sitting there eating. It was a Mexican restaurant. And across from me, this couple had ordered, what's it called? It's in a skillet with a bunch of fajitas. And they were happy with the fajitas, and we were all eating our meal, but in their fajitas was missing the meat. And the wife had said to the husband, oh, that's okay, I'll just eat the vegetables. And he's like, no, we ordered the full enchilada. You're going to get the meat. And so at that time, it's like the Lord's going, that's it. Do you realize what I have purchased on your behalf? The mama bear has to come up. That's a new slang. The mama bear has to come up, and we have to say, no, I am paying $15.95 for the full enchilada, the full fajita. My wife needs to get her meat in this meal. and how she's like, no, that's all right. I'll be happy with just the chips, the salsa, and everything. Yes, that is great, but I felt like within that the Lord is saying, we just come, oh, I'm not worthy enough to stand up and say, I need to get the meat in my fajita. And an intercession is like, I may not be able to say it, because a lot of times we feel like, oh, I just don't want to cause a stir. I don't want to do anything. But I guarantee you, if I didn't have meat in my fajita, Scott would go, come here, excuse me, immediately. Sorry, she didn't get this? Go get that. And not think nothing about it. I guarantee you, if one of my kids was here, I would say, no, I want a full ice cream cone, not half of it, or whatever it was lacking. And there was like a sense that the Lord is saying, the complacency upon us to just say, no, we're okay, we're cool. We're Americans, my God. We live in the best country in the world. We have all this, we have this. But he's saying, my blood purchased more. Signs and callings will come. Signs and wonders will follow those. He spoke that. Not anyone else said it. It's his word. He says, signs and wonders are going to follow you. Are you happy that there's no signs and wonders following you? That's what I keep seeing. Are you happy that you didn't get any meat in your enchiladas? We don't think nothing about going, garçon, oh, you know. We don't think twice about, oh, I'm sorry, I can't get this out. We don't think twice not saying, waiter, get the meat in my wife's fajitas. And I felt like the Lord is saying, don't just sit there and settle. My blood purchased this for you. Your healing, your wholeness, your freedom, all these things. And to ask him, Lord, what is in me that I'm being stolen from, that I am not getting, that your blood purchased on my behalf? You went to the cross for me to purchase this. And we can't just sit still and say, oh, that's okay. I got the chips and salsa. You're thankful for those things, but is that making sense? I don't know. Sorry. I felt like that's what he's saying. We can't just be complacent anymore. And that's what intercession is. Like if Keith was there and he didn't get his meat, that's the first thing I'd do is say, bring the boy his meat. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't think anything about it. I don't care what the waitress would say to me or the owner or anybody. It was purchased for him. And it's like, he may not fight for himself, but I'll fight for him. And I felt like that's what the Lord's saying. That's what intercession is. I'm going to stand up for you because you're not, or you don't feel you're worthy, or because you're sick, or because you've fallen down, or whatever the reason is, you don't feel like you're worthy to pray for yourself, or for whatever. We'll fight for that person. And that's what intercession is. It's just saying, get the boys meat.
She never said the word blood until I came up here and stand. She never said that word. I'm going to tell you what happened while I was up here praying. I was sitting back there, and when the prayer line formed up here earlier, I was sitting back there, and God just said, you're an elder. I'm not really old, but I've been saved for long enough to know that when someone needs prayer, people are supposed to lay their hands on them. And I know that. And the Lord called me forward. And so everybody had their hands, and I just fall in line, and I had two of the ladies in front of me, and I put my hands on them. And I was praying for them, and I stayed there the whole time, interceding, if you would. And when I took my hand off of the lady I was praying for in front of me, I had a vision that I had bloods all over my hands, and it scared me. Because when we say you've got blood on your hands, usually has a negative connotation. And the Lord said, it's my blood. When you're putting your hands on those people, it's my blood that you're praying for them with. And I went back there and said, wow, that's kind of cool. And then I came up here, and she's telling you about that blood. And she's telling you to step out and intercede. And what I saw was what she was saying right there, and is our message to all of us, that when you're doing that, the blood on your hands is his blood that you're praying for these people. No matter, take that for what it's worth, but I'm confirming what she saw is what I'm doing right here. And I didn't, I was coming up to share this little vision that I didn't know she had, was even going where she went with it. So God's saying something here.
Do you have something?
So I had I guess it was a dream. I don't think it was a vision. I think it was a sleep. But anyway, it's from God a while back. And it was a flying dream. And in this dream, I was out at Lake Springfield. And my youngest brother has been a dean of a camp week out there for like 20 years in a row. And so I was helping, which in reality we do help, go out and help with that a lot. And so the camp week was going on, and the Lord interrupted my week, and I'll just tell it the way it happened and try to make sense of it. But anyway, I was at camp, but I, like Superman, I just flew up. I don't know if I had a cape or not. That would have been a little more fun. But I flew up. But I could still, I was close enough to the ground to where I could see a lot of things on the ground. And I was flying across Lake Springfield, and then quite a distance, and then I went up into the atmosphere, and I did spiritual warfare. And in the dream, the Lord allowed me to know that the battle was won. It was a victorious battle. And then I came back down closer to Earth, and I was flying back to camp to finish the week. And I remember I was close enough to the ground, the lake, that people would look up and actually see me. Like, Martha, seriously, you need to look at this. And I was like, eh. And then I remember there was a little camp, not a camp out, like a bunch of people having like a cookout or a something at one of the points of the lake, and you know God, he'll just put anything in a dream. And they had a pet elephant, baby elephant. I know, you know what's coming. So it was Dumbo, and Dumbo's like, oh, look, and flies up. And in the dream, Dumbo could talk English, human. And I look over, and Dumbo says, isn't this fun? Don't you love to fly? And I was like, yeah, this is really fun. And then I look up because I was talking to Dumbo, and I wasn't watching where I was going. And I almost like ran into some ducks. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. I'm new at this, you know. You need to watch where you're going. And I ducked a little bit. So it's a very real dream. I mean, you know, how dreams can be very real. It sounds unreal, but it felt pretty real. And so I went back to camp and landed at the church camp. And so in the dream, people had, you know, like videoed this and sent it to the news. And like, no, really, this is happening. We saw this. This is real. And it was like a buzz, like in spring, like, what? There's a guy flying around, you know? And the people at the camp had heard the story too. And then when I landed, they're like, oh, they're talking about you. And I remember very distinctly some of the Christian leaders of that week of camp came up to me and kind of confronted me in a very negative way. And they're like, okay, we don't know what just happened, but knowing you, you're probably going to blame it on God and say somehow it was a weird God thing and it's God, but I don't want to hear it. Just don't even talk about it. Just pretend like it didn't happen. And that was the dream. And so my takeaway is, like Kelly just said, you know, the signs and wonders are coming. And they're going to come through us, the body of Christ. I know it sounds weird to say this, but in a way, Jesus doesn't have hands in the body of Christ. We are his hands. He's the head, but he speaks through us. He holds, he serves. The signs and wonders are going to come through us. And even a lot of the church is not going to understand it. I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm just saying that the next movement is usually belittled and put down by the previous movement, and that's historical. That doesn't mean we have to enter into that. We can, by choice, enter into the next movement, signs and wonders. So do not be surprised when God does the miraculous that he purchased through his son's blood to do in the earth through us in Springfield, in Central Illinois. Do not be surprised. Be surprised if he doesn't. The anticipation, the expectation, the promise of the Word of God is that he will. And of course, as Jan said earlier, as the Lord said earlier, to participate in the signs and wonders is surrender.
Thank you. All right. Well, everyone have a marvelous week. I look forward to hearing some God stories. Be expecting. All right. It's awesome. All right. All right. Thank you. See ya.